Welcome to our service for the 1st of November, for All Saints Day. I wonder what hymn we should begin with.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for All Saints Day. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is from Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 to the end. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
The second reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I first believed.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's always a fertile time when our son Michael comes home. We usually enjoy making music together, and Mike, who is very active in his church in Birmingham, usually has some question about worship or theology that he wants to discuss. This week he's been writing a song which is a farewell to the church's long-serving choir master, and he's been asked to put in it something about All Saints' Day, because that's the day when David is officially retiring. And so Mike asked me, just as he was going out the door, what do Anglicans think about the saint? And I thought I ought perhaps to come up with some kind of answer. There are two parts to the question, really. The first is, do we venerate and revere the saints? And the second is, do we pray to them? Or perhaps more accurately, do we pray through them? Roman Catholic and Orthodox Christians who use the names of the saints in prayer would affirm that they are praying to God and not to the saints they name. But they are asking a particular saint or saints to join in their prayer in the hope that it will make it more effective. The chief of the saints in this understanding is, of course, the Virgin Mary. As my mother's Roman Catholic cleaner put it to me once, well, Matthew, if your mother asked you to do something, you'd be more likely to do it, wouldn't you? Some Anglicans across the world do pray through the saints in this way, and indeed through the Virgin Mary, but they are probably a minority. Most Anglicans respect the saints and believe that we can profit from their example, but most do not pray through the saints in this way, largely because our public liturgy does not often include this kind of prayer through Mary or any of the other saints. In Wales, this is perhaps especially true in our Diocese of St David's. The church in Wales elsewhere is relatively high church in Anglican terms, but in our diocese, historically, that is less the case, and especially in the stretch of the coast from Aberystwyth to Cardigan, which has been relatively low church for many years, certainly in recent decades. In my own prayers, I never pray through the saints. It would seem to me a strange thing to do, and I would be uncomfortable with the impression it creates that somehow I cannot address the Lord directly. What a friend we have in Jesus, says the old hymn. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And as we shall sing in a few moments, there is no throb nor throe that our hearts can know, but he feels it above. For me, however much my Catholic friends deny it, the idea of praying through a saint would mean that I need another intercessor, a go-between, between me and Jesus. And I just don't believe that I do. But I do respect and revere the saints for their faithfulness to Christ and for what they can teach me about the Christian way. In my own spirituality, as you will know from having heard me preach, the most important saints are the saints of the Bible. Amongst these, the humility and obedience of the Blessed Virgin Mary has a place, but not especially a preeminent place. There are other saints whom I revere just as much. The apostles, obviously, Peter and Andrew, James and John and Paul. But other important figures too from biblical stories. Mary and Martha, Zacchaeus, blind Bartimaeus and so on. Secondly, I hold in particular reverence the saints of the early British tradition, both Anglo-Saxon and Celtic ones. Celtic Christianity and spirituality has, of course, become very fashionable in recent decades, and we have to take some of that fashionableness with a pinch of salt, not least because our knowledge of the tradition is not very extensive. Most of the material about it is somewhat later, and there is little doubt that some measure of legend has been mixed in with it. But we can see a broad outline of Celtic Christianity which highlights some important themes. First, of course, the Celtic tradition found God everywhere in the natural world. To some extent, this was inherited from paganism, in which natural features like wells and springs played an important part. In all primitive religious traditions, the gods are inevitably linked to the fertility of the natural world, because it is on that fertility that the whole of life and survival depends. For similar reasons, the Celtic tradition sees God as deeply involved in the world of work. This is one of the things that I find most appealing in it. The fisherman, the shepherd, the weaver, the sower, all have their special prayers and special place in the Celtic tradition. It's an emphasis we easily lose if we accustom ourselves only to thinking about God on Sunday, the day of rest. The Sabbath is important, but God is part of the whole of our life, and God especially of our work. When St. Paul sees himself as a builder laying the foundation of the church in a particular place, he is in the tradition of the skilled craftsmen who gave their labour in the Old Testament to the building of the temple. Thirdly, the Celtic tradition was strongly evangelistic. This is an emphasis we need to recover. Great Celtic leaders like Aidan and Cuthbert were always missionaries, always spreading the good news of the gospel more widely. And closely linked to mission is the Celtic tradition of pilgrimage. There is a bravery to both the missionary and the pilgrim endeavours of the Celtic saints, braving the dangers of travel over land and sea to the great shrines like St. David's and Lindisfarne. Taken together, what these things mean above all is that we should not think of the saints as some kind of remote beings with a holiness to which you and I cannot aspire. They lived the life that you and I live, the life of work, the life of rest, the life of family and kin. They were, in the Bible, fishermen, tax collectors, good old Matthew, tent makers, ordinary men and women like you and me. They are just especially faithful. And we are called to be faithful to God as they were, and there is no reason why we cannot be. There's a children's hymn that I love from the earlier 20th century that puts it well. They lived not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or in shops or at tea. For the saints of God are like you and me, and I mean to be one too. Amen.
No love like the love of Jesus, never to fail or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth for thee. There is no heart like the heart of Jesus, filled with a tender love. No throb, no throe that our hearts can know, but he feels it above. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth for thee. let us hark to the voice of Jesus. Oh, may we never roar till safe we rest on his loving breast in the dear heavenly home. Jesus, love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth for thee.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Entad et anoitin nevois, sancte diade enu. De lede dernas, cunella de wichlis, megesine ne vechli ar y ddear hefyd. De roni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar mae ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Can i seitho ti o'r dernas, a'r gathlu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
On this All Saints' Day, we pray. Holy Lord, may we become the people you have called us to be, a chosen people, a holy people. Make us yours, make us faithful, make us joyful, and may we each fulfill our vocation and use our gifts to your glory. Make us to be numbered with your saints in that glory which is everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God for ever. Amen. Lord, we pray for your church here in Ceredigion. We thank you, Lord, for the church of which we are members and for the Holy Spirit at work amongst us all. Be with those who lead us in our worship of you. We pray your blessing on all who share with us in this church's life, that we may all grow in a knowledge of your love. We pray that as a congregation, we may be aware of the needs of others. Help us as children of your family to respond to them by our understanding, by our support, and by the love we show them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our world leaders. Father, we pray for you to raise up a generation of leaders with the courage to take responsibility for our changing climate and the part we have played in it. We pray for our politicians and leaders that they will act in the best interests of all nations today. We pray for leaders who will be willing to act justly so that those who have contributed so little to the problems we are facing are not left to shoulder our burden. And Father, we ask for you to fill the hearts of all who lead rich countries with compassion, that they will provide aid and assistance to poor communities so that they can adapt to the effects of climate change. And we pray today for the forthcoming presidential election in the US. We pray that the election will be free and fair, that it will be concluded peacefully, and we pray that in the end, democracy will prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and our neighbours as we deal with the latest lockdown. We pray for all whose day starts with anxiety as they leave the security of home, worrying about the risk of infection. We pray particularly for those whose health or age classifies them as vulnerable. Loving God, be close to them and keep them safe, and be with all whose tasks today include the care of the frail and elderly.
And for all of us, grant us wisdom to make sensible choices, not just for ourselves, but for everybody. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick in mind, body, or soul. Bless those known to us who are unwell and are in need. Draw close to them, we pray. Heal both mind and body with your gentle touch, and pour your Spirit like a refreshing stream into every corner of their lives, restoring them to wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And on this All Saints' Day, we pray for all those we have loved, but who are sadly no longer with us. Dear Lord, we thank you for the remembrance of loved ones no longer with us. We thank you for their inspiring words and encouragement, for their love and support. May their legacy be seen in the people we have become, and may we always be thankful. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember this day, and bring us all with them to your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.
It is, of course, All Saints' Day, which follows All Souls' Night, which our culture tends to celebrate nowadays as Halloween. On this night, ghosties and ghoulies and long-legged beasties are said to walk the earth, seeking whom they may devour. This is a song by Jake Thackeray, and it concerns an evil a little closer to home.
Castleford ladies' magical circle meets tonight. In an upstairs austere district room that's lit by candlelight, where Elizabeth Jones and Lily O'Grady and three or four more married ladies are practicing every week unspeakable pagan rites. Each in the Sunday coats and their fabot hats. Respectable middle-aged ladies running too fat at that. Elizabeth Jones and Lily O'Grady and three or four more married ladies, each with a Woolworths broomstick and a tabby cat. But they don't waste time with a Ouija board or a seance now and again. None of your wittering, twittering, petty poltergeists for them. Elizabeth Jones and Lily O'Grady and three or four more married ladies prefer to be tickled by the whiskery chins of bogeymen. Their husbands potter and snook around the club. They're unaware of the devilish jiggery poke, a rub-a-dub-dub, as Elizabeth Jones and Lily O'Grady and three or four more married ladies are frantically dancing naked for the Elzebub. But after the witch's picnic and the devil's grog, after their frantic pantings, their hysterical leapfrog, Elizabeth Jones and Lily O'Grady and three or four more married ladies go back home for cocoa and the epilogue. So be careful how you go on a Saturday night. If you see a little old lady passing by, it very well might be Elizabeth Jones or Lily O'Grady, or one of those satanical ladies. Their eyes are burning bright, their cheekbones all alight. Don't go where they invite, cause the Castleford ladies' magical circle meets tonight.